Hello and welcome to Inside College Hockey's podcast for November 15th, 2006. I'm Joe Gladyszewski, your podcast host and moderator, and also ECAC Hockey League beat writer for Inch, joined by Inch editor Mike Eidelbus and WCHA correspondent senior writer Jess Myers. Jess, let's start things right away with you and a conversation you had earlier today with Mike Eaves at Wisconsin. A lot of people want to know what's going on with the Badgers.
Well, sadly, I didn't get a lot of answers from Mike. He's kind of befuddled, as are the rest of us. The one thing he did say, I mean, they after just not showing offensively at all last Friday night against Denver, they did have kind of a spirited comeback and lost 4-3 in overtime on Saturday. And his kind of cliched answer was, well, if we play like that every night, we'll win some games. And he was happy with everything except the final score.
Well, and I think if you saw the game, too, it was a fairly even battle both ways. I mean, and I think that, you know, even though he's speaking maybe in cliches, that they really can take something out of that game. I mean, they did generate some offense, a lot of chances both ways, and Elliott was fairly good. The game winning goal was a little bit of a fluky deal, but it's as good as Wisconsin's looked in some time. I thought from watching their performance.
And he didn't really do anything, you know, have a huge impact as far as goals or assists or anything like that. But getting Ross Carlson back, I think, is a psychological boost for that team, just because he was a key part of last year. And for especially for the young players to see a veteran guy like that come back from the injury as quickly as he did, I think it means something to them in their heads as they head into this pretty big series against Minnesota in Minneapolis this weekend.
And the other thing that I was thinking about, too, with that series, and them getting Carlson back is it nice for them to get that that veteran in the lineup, and he's a veteran, like, you know, he's an older guy in the league in the nation.
He's like
24,
like 37 years old.
I think so, something like that.
has three kids. One of them's
a freshman.
He played junior with Craig McTavish.
Yeah. I was gonna say, he roomed with Chelios his first year, I think. But, you know, the other thing that makes it, that it helps, not only do they have another veteran out there, but it takes some pressure off, the guys like Jodry in that line, where they've been doing all the scoring, basically, for, you know, who knows how long, and you know, it helps. You got another guy who's capable of pitching in offensively, so they don't have to feel like they've got all the pressure, too.
Although it is kind of funny to use the term all the scoring, because there hasn't been all that much of it.
I was going to say, statistically, you know, we keep saying Wisconsin's not scoring. The proof is in the pudding. Statistically, 12 games played, 24 goals.
Wow.
2 goals a game. And out of 59 Division I men's college hockey teams, they are 57th in offense.
Wow.
The two teams behind them are Merrimack in dead last and AIC.
Wow.
So that's the company Wisconsin's keeping offensively these days.
So, Mike, like you mentioned in your column last week, anyone who asks what's wrong with the Badgers, just throw that stat at them.
There you go, 2 goals a game. You know, the funny thing is when we started doing these podcasts last year, when we talked about Wisconsin, you know, I said, well, sure, they can keep you down defensively, but can they score? You know, now they look like this year's version makes last year's team look like the Edmonton Oilers from the 80s. They really can't score now.
And I'm mentioning this in my notebook this week, but here's the thing, I guess, that would really concern me if I were a Badger fan is look at their schedule. I mean, at Minnesota this weekend, then they have Michigan State, they go to North Dakota, they go to Denver, and they've got Minnesota at home. And I mean, like, that's their next upcoming WCHA schedule. So, I mean, it's the photo negative of last year when they built that huge lead in the WCHA standings. I mean, January 12th, this team could be buried.
January 12th? December 12th.
They may be buried right now, yeah.
Yeah.
Just maybe. Ask. Go ahead.
No, I'm done. Ask whatever you want.
Well, I'm going to ask you something, so get ready to start it up again. As an
no pressure.
Well, he's our expert and the WCHA. And I am.
If you say beat writer again, though, I'm going to start to giggle. So be careful.
And for those of you WCHA fans out there, I'm a simpleton from the East Coast, where we still play girls high school hockey at the varsity men's level. In your eyes. So, as an outside observer, seen in the WCHA, it just seems like there's always a team that emerges in the second half and goes on a run. Do you have a feeling who that team might be this year? Or am I just wrong in my perception that happens?
Well, I guess it's tough to pick who's going to be the emergent team in the second half on November 15th. But, we have seen a couple of pleasant surprises in the fact that Anchorage is competitive, at least, and knowing that they are kind of reestablishing a home ice advantage. I mean, that was the big thing in the early 90s when Anchorage came into the league was, oh, God, nobody wants to go up to Anchorage and play. You just can't win up there. Well, people figured out how to win up there, and now they're having trouble again. So that's been a fun story. And then I've written about Michigan Tech, and, they have some of the best defense in the nation. I mean, their two goaltenders are second and third in the nation in goals against average, and they've not been beat at home. So those are, I guess, the two kind of fun, surprising stories. The disappointing surprise has been Wisconsin, and we've covered that, I think, to death.
I think when you look at emergence in the WCHA, I think you can still look at the top, even Minnesota. Are they as good as they're going to be with all the young kids that they've got playing? I honestly, I don't think so. I think they can get better. And same with North Dakota. I mean, they've been a little banged up early in the year, and Taves is kind of just getting back to where he was early on. And believe it or not, I think those two teams can still, in a sense, emerge and be even better than they've been over the first half.
North Dakota's kind of undergoing a little bit of a change in season, though, too, in the fact that, Lamoureux, who is their top goalie for the first month and was the one veteran they have, now is still banged up and I don't think is even going to make the trip to Anchorage this weekend. So now they're going to have to ride this Anthony Greco, the youngster, and we'll see how that goes for him and if they can score enough goals to keep up. I mean, so far he's been fine, but that'll be an interesting kind of storyline if you're following the Sioux.
And before we leave WCHA land, we'd like to thank Badger podcast listener Josh Mayer. You make us feel like rock stars with all of your emails asking us about the podcast. Glad you're listening. Glad we could turn out another podcast for you. And I'm disappointed that I won't be able to make it out to the Badger Showdown during the holidays to see some games, because I would definitely make you buy me a beer.
I like M&Ms with like the brown ones picked out though. So when you come in, when I come to the Kohl, I come to the Kohl Center, I just want a big bowl of M&Ms with all the brown ones picked out.
What do they call those, rider lists or something?
Yeah, rider lists. Have you ever seen one of those? By the way,
oh yeah, they're great.
They're fantastic. Great. I saw one. I don't even remember where it was, but it was ungodly.
And your public service announcement, Britney Spears is on the market.
I saw, and this is way off topic, but I saw a thing in a newspaper today about like pop culture terms about dating, and like if a really good looking girl is dating a loser guy, that's known as a Federline. It's like, man, his parents must be so proud. You've ruined the family name forever.
Didn't the Red Wings used to have the Federline?
Yes, I think they did. Yeah.
I saw a picture of Britney. This is totally off topic now, but I saw a picture of Britney Spears on. Well, you started it, so what are you talking about?
She was a cheerleader at Cornell one year, wasn't she? No, maybe not. Okay.
She didn't get into Cornell.
Huh, okay. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
She looks like Courtney Love Jr. now. I saw a picture of her on USA Today. I'm like, I saw a big, and I'm like, oh boy, as if this trend needs to get even more disturbing. Now she looks like Courtney Love. There's a role model.
Yeah, this is not. This is not your Mickey Mouse Club anymore.
No.
She's like a former All-American trying to come back from a bad knee injury now. You wonder how much permanent damage has been done.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good analogy.
That is a very
good one.
Let's
work our way eastward from the WCHA to the CCHA. And I think it's probably the biggest series across the nation this week. Before the season, you would have probably thought that Minnesota and Wisconsin would have had that distinction. But now it's Notre Dame and Michigan State. These teams are playing a home-and-home series, and Notre Dame has probably been one of the biggest surprises, if not the biggest, all season long. Plus, I know you've kept close tabs on the Irish, and again, from the statistical department, listen to these numbers. These are national ranks, not CCHA ranks. Notre Dame, first in penalty killing, first in overall defense, first in scoring margin, and they're not doing it all by defense. They're ninth in total offense and 11th nationally on the power play. How good is Notre Dame, Bus?
They're for real, I think. Obviously, you look at those numbers. David Brown, I know we've talked about him a couple times, the goaltender. He was very good as a freshman, then had a couple down years, and now he's back to the level where he was at the freshman and as a freshman, and I think he's won in both save percentage and goals against nationally. But like you said, they've been able to score. And, you know, they're doing the little things, too, as evidenced by their numbers in the penalty kill, and they've got a fairly decent power play. I want to say they're right around 20%. This is a big series, though, for Notre Dame. You know, they had that one really marquee win against BC, and, you know, this kind of will legitimize them if they can come away with, let's say, a sweep or 3 points, you know, really, really legitimize them in a lot of people's eyes.
Is it a good thing that they play the first half of this at home on Friday night?
I think so. You know, people make fun of Notre Dame's rink, and, you know, it is kind of a goofy place. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's a tough place to play, especially if there's a lot of people in there. It's just a really strange atmosphere, and it's real weird to get used to. I think it's good for their focus, and, you know, I think it definitely helps them being on the road or being at home on Friday night. And this is going to be a good series. Now, you know, I think Michigan State, even though they're ranked higher, I think they've got a lot more questions to answer than Notre Dame does at this point in time. So, you know, for Notre Dame to start at home, I think it's a prime position for them to get a win under their belt Friday night, come back to East Lansing, and, you know, if they can sneak out of there with a win or a tie, they're looking pretty good right now.
This is only their fourth home game of the year. That discounts an exhibition game against Windsor. But they played Minnesota State in their season opener, and then were on the road for about a month before sweeping Bowling Green 5-2 and 4-0 last weekend. The Irish have an 8-1-1 overall record, and you mentioned the win over Boston College. What is the difference between them and a team like UMass that has also built an impressive record but hasn't really, you know, beaten anybody? UMass has their marquee win was over New Hampshire.
Why, Jess, you want to tackle this one? I've got
the one thing I wanted to touch on before we get too deeply into UMass is it just dawned on me. I wonder if at any point this week Ron Mason's going to kind of segue into Rick Comley's office and say, I just want to let you know, if you have a big lead in either of the games this weekend and blow it, I'm going to need to talk to you on Monday.
Yeah,
I can't think of Michigan State Notre Dame without getting poor John L. out of my head. But
yeah, you don't want to see any long cross ice passes, you know, late in the third period with the score tied.
Exactly.
Just chip it off the glass, Sparty.
Okay. Now that I've taken us off topic,
guys,
once again,
a quick anecdote. I've got to obviously jump in and defend Michigan State football here. Come on.
What's to defend?
They're certainly not teams in the fourth quarter. But an anecdote from the Michigan, the greater, the mid-Michigan area, let's just say that a Notre Dame reporter was speaking about this weekend's hockey series with someone who said, yeah, we've still got some football stuff going on. And the smug Notre Dame football attitude, the sentence was something along the lines of, oh, I didn't know you guys still cared about football this week. And the reply was, yeah, Bob Davies broadcasting the game on Saturday.
Wow.
Well, judging from the look on John L. Smith's face during last weekend's game, I don't think he cares too much about what's going on.
He was thinking that he would like to beat the crap out of himself again in public.
Yeah.
But he's already played that card.
Yeah, exactly.
So it loses its impact. He'll save that for his next head coaching job, wherever that may be.
NFL Europe.
Perhaps.
Anyways.
Perhaps. Or Wyoming. We can't talk about just the Notre Dame side of this. We'll get the football thing out of our minds, thankfully, and say, tell me about Michigan State, Bus. That's another team that's kind of quietly gone about their business and put together an impressive record so far this season.
They have. You know, they're 5-2-1 and coming into this weekend again. You know, I think it's a nice litmus test, I guess, for the Spartans. I'm still kind of, I still think the jury's out a little bit on their defense and also on their, on the goaltending of Lurg. You know, he's been okay and he played pretty well last week against Ferris, in a tie and a win. He got a 6-0 shutout up in Big Rapids against Ferris, which is a tough place to play. And, yeah, the one thing that's kind of been maybe even a bigger concern for the Spartans is just, you know, they've got these two lines, the sophomore line with Abdelkader and Crowder, and then the line with Lurg and McKenzie. Kind of Conley's called it the 1A and 1B. Well, the sophomores have been scoring up until last week, and that other line had trouble getting going. And so, you know, they're going to need some scoring balance if they're going to want to maintain, and also some consistency in goal. So, you know, I think they still have a few things to iron out. And, you know, given their schedule coming up, they're going to need to do that fairly soon here.
Yeah, their goaltending, Lurg, played much better against Ferris than he had. And he was quoted as saying such in the Lansing State Journal to esteemed Lansing State Journal writer Neil Koepke, that he's finally put together several periods. He'd been playing well at times, you know, a 10-minute stretch here or a period here or a couple of his shifts. But he's felt that his consistency has improved, and that can only be good for Michigan State as he struggles or maybe had struggled to find the form that he enjoyed last spring as a freshman. Let's get back to UMass.
Why was Neil Koepke steamed?
Esteemed.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I just thought maybe, you know, I thought maybe they shut off the press box lights at 9:20 or something up there in Big Rapids. So he wasn't
happy. If they shut him off at 11:20, Neil Koepke would have been
steamed. Exactly.
Hey, who's hungry for a big plate of esteemed clams right now? I don't know.
Wow. Someday we'll get to UMass.
Neil Koepke wasn't steamed. He was blown dry. That's true.
There's eight people. There's eight people that are laughing right now.
this week, three of them are us.
This week's Inch Podcast Inside Joke was brought to you by
Josh Mayer at Wisconsin.
Wow. Title sponsor. That's outstanding.
Nice. Spreading the money around. And then there was
that's another beer, Josh. Another drink chip.
And then there was UMass.
But then there was UMass, and I think we've laid I think we've laid the groundwork for a point I wanted to make. Notre Dame's record and Michigan State's record, Michigan State's record was against definitely tougher competition, but Notre Dame and UMass, if you look at across the board, maybe they're in the same position. First place in their league, they've won the games they're supposed to win. Haven't been many, you know, powerhouse teams lined up along the way or ranked opponents or tough road games, but they've taken care of business. I think the difference is how they've done it. Notre Dame has been very impressive. We mentioned their, you know, national ranking in several of these categories. We've mentioned, you know, their margins of victory and blowing out the teams that they should blow out. Whereas UMass is winning, and they're finding just enough ways to do it. I mean, they're outshot in both games against Providence, but got the wins. You know, they had twice as many power plays as Northeastern and won 2-1. You know, their only loss is to Maine, the number one team in the country, but that was a lot of John Quick, who is a very, very good goalie and playing well, but their leading scorer for UMass is only at a point per game. Can they keep that up long enough once they head into some tougher games down the road, which they really don't have, other than Boston University and Horizon? They're playing teams like Niagara and UConn and Vermont, you know, up in the next several weeks. They could be running out to a 10-1-1 start or something along those lines for the Minutemen. Is that a fair assessment?
Are we saying that the Minutemen are this year's Providence College? I mean, I just can't help but think back to that great start that Providence got off to last year and had people talking Frozen Four at Christmas time, and all of a sudden there was a big reality check come January, and you never heard from them again. Is that what we're looking at here?
You know,
it could be.
Yeah, I think it could be too. And
they don't have as many former members of the Texas Tornado, so it's not.
Well, yeah,
a perfect
there you
comparison.
Go. You know, the one thing that from the one thing I just have a hard time putting a finger on their identity. You know, and I think, I think it's hard to make, or it's unfair maybe to make the comparison between UMass and Notre Dame. But, you know, the one thing with Notre Dame, you know, the thing that helps them as far as credibility, I think, is Jeff Jackson. I mean, when you have a team coached by Jeff Jackson, you kind of know what you're getting and you know what to expect. And you can kind of look at what Notre Dame is doing a little bit and you see the hallmarks of a Jeff Jackson team. You know, guys that play smart and play hard and, you know, they do their jobs and they go out and perform and, you know, they win, and it's almost clinical. Whereas UMass, you know, I know that Quick's a good goalie, but I don't get a good feel for them as far as their identity. Other than that, and I don't know if that's kind of a little bit of a holistic approach here, but you know, I just don't get I don't have a good sense of what they're about as a team, other than Quick.
Yeah, we'll find out. That'll be an interesting team to watch down the road. Another hockey story just moments before this podcast was recorded. Vermont defeated Boston University 2-1. That's on Tuesday night. So the number seven in the Inch Power Rankings, Boston University Terriers, suffer their second loss of the season, and their record line looks a little bit like a scoring line or something along those 2-2-4.
They play Tottenham next week, don't they?
Yeah, they've got a trip to Vicarage Road. Take on the Charlton Baggies.
I think Paul Shaheen is sponsoring this section of the podcast.
Paul Shaheen owes drink chips.
Yeah, there we go.
English football reference.
the
and he'll
update.
Slaughter me on confusing all of those teams. Yeah. I'm sure Charlton doesn't play at Vicarage Road.
why would they play in the road? Don't they have a stadium?
They're a throwback team.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. They're tough. They play in the Norris division of the Peninsula.
Oh, man.
And to...
How did we get on that? Oh, 2-2-4. Yeah, never
mind. 2-2-4.
Do you think people listen to this? This is another off topic. Do you think there's people listen to this and, you know, turn it into a drinking game?
They could.
Peach schnapps. Whoever says peach schnapps has to drink, or Oxford, Ohio, drink.
Oxford. Any mentions of Oxford or Madison?
Yeah.
Gee, those never happen.
Yeah.
A Any snide references to North Dakota, you have to drink.
And, right. Yeah. Exactly. Sorry.
I think
back to Hockey East.
In another way of looking at things, maybe this podcast just drives people to drink. It's not a game to them. They need something to get through the rest of this.
Well,
I know that's the case for some of the hosts.
Indeed. Got to do it to do this, let alone
indeed.
Let alone listen.
Along the lines of UMass, a similar story in the ECAC Hockey League with St. Lawrence. The Saints, from an observer in that part of the world, I'd say part of the state, but it really is a part of the world up in the North Country. He said St. Lawrence is doing just enough to win. It's not a bad way to go about life. They're 4-0-0, surprisingly, 4-0-0 in four conference games, and they haven't played the weaker half of the league. I mean, that started with two wins at Dartmouth and Harvard, and at home a win over Quinnipiac, who was very good and had just beaten Clarkson the night before, and another victory over Princeton. All four Saints wins are by one goal in league play. So we're still waiting to see what we'll get out of the Saints. Again, another team that will not get your attention with a high-scoring player, a freshman who really was a second thought among two freshman goalies that came into Canton, into St. Lawrence this year. Kane Teese was highly regarded. Alex Petijan, perhaps. I haven't even seen the pronunciation. But he's gotten the bulk of the work, and he's 4-1.
Paging Wally Johnson. Wally, if you're out there, call
Wally
us, please.
Wouldn't be able to pronounce it either. Wally knows what's going on. So...
here's yet another fun sidelight. But a friend of mine had this game he used to play when you go into the host hotel at the Frozen Four. He used to like have this bet with me about who were the first four people he would see just hanging out in the lobby, and 3 years in a row, Wally Johnson was on the list.
He's a friend of college hockey.
He was a perpetual friend of college hockey, and God bless.
He is a friend of college hockey. And
I can't
of all the 12 schools in the ECAC Hockey League, only two have been to the Frozen Four since St. Lawrence. Or one, just Cornell, right? Since St.
Yes.
Lawrence
Cornell
Cornell in 2003.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then St. Lawrence in 2001. So Wally still deserves to be in a lobby of the Frozen Four Hotel.
No, wait a second. St. Lawrence in not 2001.
Yeah, 2001 in Albany.
They got not Albany.
No,
Providence.
No. Providence.
Providence, you're
from
right.
Milwaukee.
2000.
2000 was in Providence. That's correct.
Because they played that 50 overtime game against BU that year, right?
Yeah, it's 2000. Yeah, it's 99-2000. That's it. So those are your Saints, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll see what happens with them. Another team, two NHL draft picks on the whole roster. One of those is spectacular defenseman Drew Bagnell, a Dallas Stars pick, and I believe his rights have been traded to Florida.
Sure.
So Drew Bagnell, he's great. Great, great player. I think he would be the star on the team if you were to have to pick one. And we'll see what happens with the Saints, and I will explore them further in the ECAC Hockey League notebook later this week at Inside College Hockey. Let's look forward to this weekend, guys. Anything that we haven't touched on that you want to mention?
Well, I mentioned Minnesota-Wisconsin. That's obviously the premier series in the WCHA. But one that I'm a little more intrigued by is Michigan Tech going to Denver. I mean, I talked about Tech. They're undefeated at home. They are second to Notre Dame in scoring defense in the nation. But the one thing they haven't done is they haven't been able to do it on the road. They got beat a couple times out of Colorado College a few weeks ago. So we'll see. Another opportunity for them to kind of make a statement and say, hey, we're for real. We're here. We can play some hockey away from home.
Yeah, and Denver's always been pretty good against Michigan Tech. Of course, in recent years, everybody's been good against Michigan Tech. But
absolutely.
But Denver has been, like, unbelievably good against them.
Yeah.
So I guess we got to look ahead to Sunday too. It's we've got Minnesota, Wisconsin, and we've also got Boston College going to Maine on Sunday. So a couple interesting games there. I would turn Boston College, even though we've got them listed as ranked fifth in our power rankings. I would turn them as a bit of a disappointment. Just I expected them to play at a higher level than they have thus far. So and Maine, obviously, last weekend's loss to UNH notwithstanding has been very, very good. So I'm interested to see mainly Boston College, just kind of what kind of team shows up there in Orono on Sunday. And
all right,
and Gladdy, you gotta be digging this Clarkson at St. Cloud series, I'm guessing.
Love it.
Fire Wagon Hockey.
Yeah, I'm excited, and as you mentioned, Buzz, I'm excited to see what Clarkson will do on the big ice surface. They've got a lot of depth up front, and those guys can skate. I think with extra time, and that more than the space, the extra time they'll have to make plays and move without the puck, they're going to get a lot of scoring chances against St. Cloud, and St. Cloud will get a lot of scoring chances against Clarkson. It's kind of a similar situation to what Clarkson had on last Friday against Quinnipiac, two very similar teams in that regard. So,
and just
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and I don't know how much of Minnesota, well, I guess you probably didn't see a whole lot of it last weekend, but I thought St. Cloud looked pretty good last weekend against Minnesota.
St. Cloud looked very good, and I did see actually both games, and St. Cloud looked very good, and Minnesota looked like it just had absolutely no interest in playing defense anymore. It's like, hey, we can score 10 goals a game. Let's just throw the puck up ice and throw the hockey version of the Hail Mary pass every time we have it and see what happens. And it made for some very entertaining hockey. I mean, both teams had two-goal leads in their own building. Both teams blew those two-goal leads in their own building. The one thing, and I touched on this in my notebook, that would concern me if I were a Husky fan is they played 10 minutes of overtime last weekend and got zero shots in overtime. And that's just not acceptable if you're trying to win those games and not necessarily play for a tie.
Amen.
Oh, and one more thing about Clarkson St. Cloud. One thing to look for. Bob Motzko kind of hinted with me a little bit that, hey, it's Bobby Geffert's team. He's our number one guy. But he kind of hinted that in these non-conference games, and St. Cloud has six of them coming up in the next month, that you might see a little bit more of Jace Wasloski between the pipes and give him a little more chance to get his feet wet in college hockey. So that'll be interesting because he is definitely the goaltender of the future for St. Cloud State.
That will be worth watching for sure. Also, a thing to check on Clarkson is their mentality. They got off to a 6-1-1 start and then dropped two games at home to Quinnipiac and Princeton last week. So see how they bounce back from those losses. Harvard-Cornell, another good game down there for the Line of Faithful last weekend. 3-2 to Cornell with a pair of late goals to win that one when Harvard controlled play throughout. And Colgate continues to struggle, losing to Dartmouth and Harvard at home last weekend. So we'll keep an eye on those happenings. Last chance, guys.
Pierre-Luc O'Brien, all he does is score 3 points a game at Sacred Heart.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't talk about College Hockey America or Atlantic Hockey in this. Quickly, the question is, because we're about to build a Hobie Tracker, Les Rini from Niagara, Pierre-Luc O'Brien, can one of these guys actually win the Hobie?
Well, I don't know if they can win, but I think the precedent is there that they should be in the top 10 if they continue to play like they have been. I mean, O'Brien's been outstanding over the last and Rini probably has been a little bit more consistent, but you know, O'Brien has just got, you know, they played three games last week. I think he had 9 points. I mean,
I'll be the big bad WCHA snob here and say no, they can't win it. I don't think they can win it, but I think they deserve to be part of the discussion.
I see the Hobie
becoming what the Heisman has become, and yeah, you'll get mentioned as part of the discussion. But you win the Heisman at USC and at Notre Dame and at Michigan, and you don't win it at Boise State.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I had tried to rationalize with myself is, if you were to ask Niagara or Sacred Heart or Mercyhurst or Bemidji State or any teams in those two leagues, you know, no matter how good their stats are, would you trade your best player for Jonathan Toews or Brian Boyle? I think all those coaches would say yes, please. Right?
Yeah, you're probably right.
So that's how I kind of think of it. So that's what we've got, and thanks for listening to another edition of the Inside College Hockey Podcast, and thanks to Josh Mayer for listening. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Have a good night, and enjoy the games at college hockey rinks this weekend.